The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Nun Bet. Today's daf is being studied in the Rishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, tenichenu, begin Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf. Nun Aleph. Amud Bet, and we are starting 5 lines from the bottom, starting with the Braita. Taru Rabbanan, we have a Braita. En mekabelin pekdonot, lo min anashim, velo min abadim, velo min atinukot. A person is not allowed to receive a pekadon. Pekadon is a collateral, not from married woman, not from an Eved Kenani, velo min atinukot, not from children. The hashash over here is that we're worried that they stole it. And if it's stolen, and now they want to take the item that they stole and put it by somebody else, and then later on they'll take it back. So you're not allowed to help Ovrei Avera. You're not allowed to assist in somebody that wants to make a sin. And therefore when they see that you're not accepting their pikadon, they'll be forced to return the stolen object either back to their husband or back to their master or whoever the katan stole it from, if indeed they actually stole it. So that's the deen of the Braita. Em mekablim pekdonot, lo min anashim, velo min abadim, velo min atinokot. So comes the Gemara and says, however, kibel min ha'isha, but if you did not follow the law, you received the pekdon from the isha, yachzid la'isha, you return it back to the lady and not to the husband. Because we don't know for sure that she stole it. And therefore, you cannot give her a hazakah that she stole it. The imeta, but if the lady died, so then already yahzir l'ba'ala. Then for sure you return it to the husband, because if it was the husband, so you're giving it back to him anyway. And if it wasn't, well, once she dies, so the husband is yoresha. So if a miman of shach, you give back the pekadon to the husband when the lady dies. Now let's say you received it from the Eved Kenani, you shouldn't have, but you received it from the Eved, Yahzir la Eved. So you return it to the Eved. Again, because we're not 100% certain that the Eved stole it, so if you return it to him, V'imet, and if the Eved died before he was able to return it, so then Yahzir la Rabbo. So then you give it back to the master, because again we said, Minastam, the money probably belongs to the master. Again, generally speaking, an Eved doesn't have any assets. We have the general rule, kol ma shekana Eved, kana Rabbo. So therefore the assumption is that really this item belongs to the master. Whatever money is on the hands of the Eved, you could assume that really came from the master. And not only that, but we have a general rule, stam avadim ganavim. A regular Eved, you could assume that he's a ganav. So therefore the deen would be, you have to give it back to the master. That's interesting. Even though you say stam avadim ganavim and all that, when the Eved is alive, it's mashma, you give it back to the Eved. Right? It says that. Kibem min ha'Eved yachzir la'Eved. Now what do you mean if you're saying stam ganavim, and kol ma shekana eved kana rabbo, why then do you return it to the eved at all? That's the question that they ask. And the answer they say is because bottom line, at this point, he's a muhzak. Bottom line, the money is under his hands. He's holding the money. Which means when it comes to the lady, you give it to the husband. So the husband's yoresh. Now an Eved doesn't have any yoshim, so then you give it back to the master. That would be the difference with that. But
The Maaseh, since it's in his hand, we go back to the regular Hazakah, Kol Ma Shetachat Yidei Adam Shelohu. Anyway, Gemara says, In Kibel Mena Katan, let's say he received from the Katan Pekadon, Ya'aseh Lo Sigula. You should make from it a treasure for him, which means invested in something, and then when he gets older, you'll return him the treasure. The Gemara will explain to me what this treasure is in a second. The imet yazil liyorshav, and if the katan dies, so then you return the item to the yorshim, to his inheritors. Again, the sevara over here is that don't receive a pikadon from a katan because you're worried that maybe he stole it. However, once already you received it from him, you don't know vadai that he stole it. So therefore, you got to assume that, again, since it's tahat yado, it was his, so therefore invest in something, and then when he gets older, you give it back to him. So comes the Gemara and says, v'chulam she'amru b'sh'at mitatan. But all of these people, the isha, the eved, and the katan, if at the time of their death they come along and say shel pelonihen, they say, listen, it really wasn't our money, the money belongs to so and so, they explain to where the money belongs to, ya'aseh kepirushan, which means you return the money according to what they explained. Or for that matter, if they were healthy and they said give the money belongs to so and so, we're just giving a case where it's normally happens, where a person before he dies wants to return the pikadon to the original owners, because people don't want to be referred to as gannavim. So therefore, I'm going to give a normal case that before their death, they want to make teshuvah like. So they said, oh, return it to so and so, that's who it belongs to, so then you believe them. The imlav. But if, let's say, the shomer, the one that's holding the pikadon, doesn't believe them. He has reason to suspect that this item really belongs either to the husband or to the master. He has a reason to believe that. Which means they're just scared. These people, before they die, they don't want to be referred to as ganavim, even in their death. So therefore they're just saying, oh, give it back to so-and-so. But it really doesn't belong to so-and-so, it really belongs to the original master. He's choshed them, he's choshed that they're lying still. That's the Rashbam explains. So it's behind Hanifkad choshed, the nifkad, the one that's holding the pikadon, sheham mafkidim achen ganvu ta mamon. They stole the mamon from their masters. Eda shemetuch busha, at the time of their death, they say they lied, and they say it belongs to so and so. So they don't want the geneva to be noticed. So they're just getting it out of their possession, basically. So if the holder of the pikadon suspects that they're really lying, that's the point. That they're really lying, and they're just doing it because they don't want to get caught. Before they die, and they don't want to be referred to Ganavim, so then they're ready, they can give it back to the original master. So that's what it means. The imlav ya'aseh pirush lepirushan, which means the nifkad, the one that's holding the pikadon, can give an explanation to their explanation. Which means they're saying it belongs to so-and-so, but you can explain what they mean, really means, now give it back to the master. So that's the deen. Comes the Gemara and tells a story. Dibitu, the wife, the Rabba Bar Barhanna, the wife of Rabba Bar Barhanna, Kika Shachva, she was about to die. Amra, Hani Kipe, de Marta, Ubne Berata. These kipe would be like bangles or bracelets. They belong to Marta and to the grandchildren of Marta. So she's saying, these are not mine. These belong to Marta's family. Atal kamed Rav. So the husband, Rabba Bar Barhanna, came in front of Rav. He said, what do we do with them? Do we believe her? What do we give them back to? Amar le If you don't suspect that she stole them from you, and you don't suspect that generally she's an honest person, then aseh kepirusha. Then go return the akilim, go return the bangles to Marta and her family. Even though over here the husband was muhzak with the akilim, but he doesn't know if these are the exact ones that are his. So Rabbi wouldn't have came to the rabbi unless he thought that maybe these akilim belonged to him. Obviously they had their own akilim as well. So the rabbi said, listen, if you trust your wife that she doesn't steal anything, so then listen to what she says. V'imlav, but if she doesn't have an imanut to you, ase perush leperusha. So then give an interpretation to her interpretation, which means keep them for yourself. The ika de amre, and some say another interpretation of what happened in the story here. Hachi amarle, this is what Rav told Rabba Bar Barchana. I amida lach. If Marta's family, they look like they're wealthy, that they could afford such expensive jewelry, aseh kepirusha, then listen to your wife and go return it to them. V'imno, but if they don't look like they can afford such expensive bangles and bracelets, aseh perush leperusha, then give an interpretation to what she said, and therefore keep it for yourself. According to this answer, till now we only understood, do you believe her or not? If you believe her, then listen to what she says. If you don't believe her, then keep it for yourself. According to this, you also have to assess the wealth of the person that we're talking about over here. If it's shayach to belong to her, so then give it back to her. But if not, you can keep it. Now the Gemara says, "Men akatan yaseh lo segula." If you receive the pikadon from a katan, you should invest in it, make a treasure out of it, and then when he gets older, you'll give it back to him. My segula, what is the segula that the Gemara is saying you have to make? Rav Chisda Amar, Sefer Torah. You make a Sefer Torah. Now, why do you call it a segula? So he says, that's an item that the principle remains, something that doesn't decay like that, and it makes perot, and it makes fruit. Could produce interest. So this rabbi holds the Sefer Torah is the principle, and the fact that the kid's able to learn Torah from that Sefer Torah, that's the perot. So that's the segula. Make a Sefer Torah and let the kid learn from it. Rav Abba Rav Huna Amar, Dikla, De'achal Mineh Tamre. He says, no, literally, buy a tree so the child can eat from it perot. That's the keren and the perot. So comes the Gemara and says, we learned in our Mishnah, ve'lo le'av b'nechse ha'ben, ve'lo le'ben b'nechse ha'av. We learned in our Mishnah that what? There is no hazakah when it comes to a father-son relationship. Which means if the father is using the child's nechasim, or vice versa, the child is using the father's nechasim, there's no hazakah. Even if they didn't protest for 3 years, the fellow cannot come along after and say, it's mine. So Yabras Amar of Yosef, Afilu Halku. Now, according to Rabbi Yosef, even if they separated, which means even if the child is not being supported by the father, and he's not involved in his assets at all, but still there is no hazakah, because you assume that even though the kid is eating from the father's field, even though the father's not supporting the kid, but the father's not makpid. And therefore, that's why the father didn't say anything. However, Rava Amar Halku Lo. Says, no. Once already they separate, then already there is a deen of Hazakah. So, according to Rava, our Mishnah is talking about where the father and the son are still eating from the same table. However, in the case where they're makpid on each other, where they separated from each other, each one supporting themselves. So then indeed there is a hazakah. Amar Rav Yirmiya Medifti, Avad Rapapi Uvda. Rapapi said a halakha, it was a case that came to him, and he said, Halku Lo. That what? He said, if they separated, Lo. Then already, that's not the case of our Mishnah, And indeed, there will be a chazakah. Ke the Rabbah. He was posek like Rabbah. That's it. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti. He had a halakha like Rabbah. That once already they're separate, that the kid is not on the shulchan of the father, then already indeed there is a chazakah if he's there for 3 years. Comes Gemara and says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak Ishta'ili. It was told to me, Rabbi Hiya Mehurmiz Ardeshir. The Ishta'ele Rav Ahabar Yaakov, that was told to him by Rav Ahabar Yaakov Meshemeh to Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, Halku Lo. Same thing, that these rabbis also were posek, that once they separate, there is no din of Amishnah, and therefore indeed there is a Hazakah Behelcheta, and what's the Halakha bottom line? Halku Lo. That once they separate, no, then the din of the Mishnah does not apply. Indeed, when the son is not living from the father, of the father, there is a chazakah. Tanya Namechi, we have a braita to support this. Ben Shehalak, a son that left his father, that's now supporting himself. The ishto shenit garesha, or a lady that got divorced. Harein kishar kol adam. Very clearly, they go to becoming like regular people, the inyan chazakah. Once the son separated from the father or the lady from the husband, they're ready to have regular dinim. Harem kichod adam when it comes to the dinim of hazakah. Okay. Now, we go into a new case. We go into a case of brothers that are dividing a yirusha, inheritance, from their father. Now, until they actually divide it, they're considered as partners in the money. That division, or that money before they divide it, is called Tefusat Habayit. The Gemara now is going to claim, have a situation where you have brothers that are about to divide different assets, and one of the brothers says that this item over here belonged to me. It's because it's my own money. It has nothing to do with the division of the Yerusha. It's going to claim that the money is his, certain parts of it. So the Gemara says, Itmar, we learned from the Amoraim. You have one of the brothers, usually the older brother, he's the administrator that deals with the Tefusat HaBayit, with the Yerusha, in order to divide it equally amongst the brothers. He's the brother that, again, is Nosev V'Noten B'Toch HaBayit. He's the one that's involved in the Yerusha to make sure everybody gets their proper division. V'Hayu Onot. An Onot is a shtar of a sale. Literally, the shtar says that this field belongs to me. A shtar of a sale. The reason why they call it ono in Hebrew, oni, or the aleph, is my strength, like we saw by the berachot of Yaakov Abinu. Kohi v'reshit oni. He told the Uven, you are my first strength. Because what gives a person strength that he owns a field? It's the shtar. So therefore, the shtar is the strength of the field, so to speak. So therefore, it's called ono. Anyway, amongst the papers over there, the Yerusha, Hayu Onot, Ushtarot, there were certain Shtarot that, there were loans that were owed, monies that were owed, Shtarot of Halva'a, Yotzin Al Shemo. And on those Shtarot, it has his name, the brother, his name, let's say his name is Reuven, his name is on the Shtarot over there, he's the buyer of the property, and he's the lender of the money is owed to him. The Amar, and he comes along and says, "Shili him." He said, "By the way, this is my own assets. It's got nothing to do with the Yerusha." Shenaflu li mibet abi imma. He says, "I got them from my maternal grandfather." It seems that these brothers over here were only brothers from the father. They had different mothers. So he's coming along and saying, "This item I inherited from my mother's side. So therefore belongs to me." Now the other brothers are coming along and saying, "No, this is part of the division. That this was part of the Yerusha, and therefore belongs to everybody else. Belongs equally to everybody else. Which means you did lend the money, but you lent it from the common pot, from the Tifusat HaBayit. You did buy a property, but with the money of the Yerusha. Well, that's why your name is on it. But we have a piece of that." Amar Rav, so Rav came along and said, "Alav lehavir ayah." On the brother, the older brother that's doing the division, he has to bring it a ayah, that the money that he used for these purchases was indeed his. The money that was owed to him, he has to prove that the field that he bought and all that, he used his own money. Even though the shtarot have his name on it, he came along and say it because he's the one that's dealing with the asset. That's why his name is on it. Because he's like the executor of the will over here. But doesn't mean that he used his own money. So Rav says that the deen is the brother that's dealing with the estate. He's got to bring it ayah that indeed he bought these items with his own money. Shmuel amar ala achim le'avir ayah. Shmuel argues. Shmuel says it's on the brothers that have to bring a ra'ayah. And as long as they cannot bring a ra'ayah that is theirs, the one that's dealing with it, the brother that's dealing with it, could say the money is his. Because again, he has the shtarot. And the shtarot were written in his name. And therefore, he has the ikar ni'manut. Okay. Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel comes along and says, Modeli Abba. Abba agrees to me. We all know that Rav's real name was not Rav. Rav, they called him Rav because he was the great Rav, like Rabbi. They would call him Yehuda, they called him Rabbi. So Rav, they called him Rav, but his real name was Abba. So Shmuel comes along and says, even though me and Rav, me and Abba have a machloket, who's going to bring the ra'ayah? But Modeli Abba, she'im met, ala ahim, le'avi ra'ayah. That if the brother that was dealing with the Yerusha died, and now the other brothers are coming along and claiming that the money is theirs, it was used from the Yerusha money. So then ala achim la'avi ra'ayah. Then already, even Rav will agree that the brothers have to bring a ra'ayah. And as long as they don't can bring a ra'ayah, we assume that it came from the older brother, and therefore it goes to the yetomim, which means Shmuel holds like this. When do we say that the brother has to bring the ra'ayah? That's only when he's alive. Because if he really used his own money, it's easy for him to bring a proof. Which is when he's alive, if you really use your own money like you said, so you'll be able to prove it. Go show that you inherited it from your grandfather, from your mother's side. It's provable. So therefore, if we say, you bring the ra'ayah. However, in a case where he died already, it's going to be very hard for the yetomim, for his orphans, to bring a ra'ayah, because they don't know exactly the business dealings of their father. And therefore, since in the shtar itself it has their father's name, that he was the purchaser and he was the lender, even though it's not a total proof, in this case over here, so now the brothers have a ra'ayah, which means it's like he gives a leniency, he's saying to the yetomim, Rav, you only said that the brother has to bring a ra'ayah. That's when he's alive, because it's assuming that it's easier for him to bring a ra'ayah. You know, it's possible for him to do it. But she'ekim, once he dies, so now you have yetomim. The yetomim, they don't really know what their father did or not. They just have a shtar with their father's name on it. So he says, Rav will agree to me, and in that case over there, the brothers have to bring the ra'ayah. That indeed it was from the pot. Comes Gavran es matkifla the papa. So the papa says, "Klum ta'anina lehu liyatme mide de lo ta'an lehu abuhon." Do we claim for yetomim a claim that we would not claim for the father? Which means, why are you telling me that Rav is going to say that if the father died, so we tell the yetomim that? The yetomim is, we say that, don't worry, this is your father's money, and the burden of proof is on the other brothers. If the father was alive, he would have to bring the proof himself. Normally, we claim yetomim, we defend yetomim on a claim that if the father was still alive, he would have that claim. But in this case, if the father was alive, he has to bring a proof himself. Because he has to bring a proof himself, so therefore, when he dies, how can the yetomim now have a stronger claim than the father himself? That's the Gemara's question. Which means, we have a general rule, ta'anina liyatme, that we defend the yetomim. But that rule applies, we defend yetomim on something that if the father was alive, he would have a good claim. In this case over here, you're telling me, Rav, if the father was alive, he has to bring a ra'ayah that he used his own money. But when he dies, you want to tell me, oh, then already the other brothers have to bring a ra'ayah. How does that work? And the papa, that's the papa's question. The papa proves this. He says a story. Ve'ha-rava apik zuga de sarbela. Rava took a zuga. Zuga would be a scissors, let's say. That usually cuts shears that cut wool, shears of wool. Ve'sifra de agata. And he took a sefer agada, some say sefer, miyatme. He took it out of the reshut of the yetumim that were holding it, and he gave it to the original owners. Belo ra'aya. Bidvarim ma'asuyim lehashkil ulhaskir, which means the guy had a claim over here. He brought witnesses. He said, "Listen, these shears or the sefer belongs to me," and he said, "I lent it to the father of these yetumim over here." Yeah, that was his claim. Rava said, yeah, that makes sense, because normally on things that you lend it without witnesses and things like that. So he says, Rava said, give it back to the original owner. He took it away from the Yetomim. Kedeshalach davuna, like the law of Ravuna bar Avin, that said what? Devarim asuyim nashilu laskir, items that you normally lend out or rent, like I guess these shears or the sefer, and the owner says, no, I bought it, enu ne'eman. He's not ne'eman to say that. So similarly, if the guy was alive, forget about yetumim, if the guy was alive, he's not ne'eman to say the shears are his. He has to give it back. Because the items that are normally lent out or rented out, and a guy comes along and says, those are mine, he's ne'eman, if it's normally rented out. So similarly, when the guy died, and now the yetomim are holding the shears or the sefer, we don't believe the yetomim. Because whatever, we don't believe the father, we don't claim for the yetomim as well. So that's a proof to the papa. So therefore he goes back to his question, you just told me that in a case over here, that the Reuven, the guy that was taking care of the will, if he died, and the Yetomim now have the Shtarot, so you come along and say, it's the other brothers have to bring it Ayah. It's not so. We don't torrent for Yetomim something that the original father would not have a claim for either. And since Rav holds that the brother himself has to bring a Ra'ayah, so too, for the Yetomim, they would have to bring a Ra'ayah. So how could you come and tell me, Shmuel, that Rav would agree that when it comes to the Yetomim, the other brothers bring it Ayah? It's not so. You see that we only to'en for yetomim something that we to'en for the father as well. So something that the father could have claimed. Just like you see in the case over here of the yetomim that are holding the shears, or the scissors. So we don't claim that it's theirs. We claim that what? You give it back. Just like if the father was alive, you'd give it back also. Based on the law that what? That the items that are normally lent or rented out, you believe the person that claims that it was his. So the Gemara says, indeed, kasha. This is indeed a question on Rav. Comes the Gemara and goes a step further. Gemara says, what did we just learn above? That a brother that's dealing with the Yerusha, he's got to bring it to Ayah, according to Rav, that the money is indeed his. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar of Hazda. Lo shanu ela de en halukin be'isatan. Aval halukin be'isatan. Imur me'isato kemetz. What does that mean? Let's say the brothers, they buy everything together. All the mezonot and all their needs. They don't split anything from their own assets. Everything from the Yerusha, that's where they buy all their stuff from. In that case over there, then the brother's got to bring it ayah that he uses his own money. Because the general way they live is, everything is bought from the pot. Everything is bought from all the money that were from the Yerusha. That is God wants to claim, yeah, but this money was separate. Then you got to bring it ayah. However, aval halukin by Satan, but if everybody takes from the Yerusha to buy his own stuff, so then already, I could say imun me'isato kimetz. Maybe that it's from his own monies. Maybe, which is if, let's say, generally they buy together, they buy in bulk, they take the Yerusha money and they buy in bulk and they share everything. So then already you could say if they buy everything like that, so then he's got to bring it to ayah that it's his. That this these shtarot that have, you know, a field on his name or a loan, got to bring it to ayah. Mashi'inkin, if they take from the Yerusha and each one buys individually, they don't share in the buying. They take from the Yerusha, but each one buys separately. Then already I could say, imur mi'isato kimitz. I could say, could be, he took from his share and he squirreled it away. And you know, he saved and saved and saved, and eventually bought a field. And eventually he lent money and he's owed money. And therefore, you have no da'ayah. If they're buying together, come on and say, everything we buy together. Now you can tell me you had separate money on the side. You got to bring it to ayah. Mashi'enken, if each one takes from the Yerusha separately, then he has another claim. He could claim that, you know, he just saved the money that he was taking from the Yerusha to buy stuff. He didn't actually buy, he saved it. And therefore, he used that money. So therefore, since he has that claim, so he's believed also when he says that he got it from his maternal grandfather. Now, even if it's clear that he couldn't have saved so much money, like the shi'ud of the mamun that's in the shtar, but still he's ne'emat to say that he used his own money. Because which means that he saved some money, and there was a beracha on the money, let's say. He saved a little money, and there was a beracha on the money, and that's how he was able to use it for these things. So again, the Rav Hasda is giving a very important rule over here. Rav Hasda's rule is, when do we say that the deen is that the brother has to bring it a ayah? That's in the case of en halukin b'isatan. They buy everything together. And all their needs, they buy together. They don't separate anything. Oh, so in that case over there, you got to bring it ayah that this was your money. That you had separate monies on the side. But if everybody takes from the Yerusha to buy their own goods, so then everybody could say, imun ma'isatuch kemetz, he saved from his own monies, and that he was getting from the Yerusha, and therefore he had a beracha on that money, and therefore he is believed. Now the Gemara says, re'ayah b'may. Now we go to another point. Rav said that the brother that has the shtarot, that has his names on it, they have a claim against him, right? They're saying, hey, that money you took from the Yerusha, those fields belong to us. So the brother has to bring a re'ayah. So the Gemara says, re'ayah b'may. What type of re'ayah? So Rava amar re'ayah b'aydim. Yeah, let him bring witnesses that he actually took money, he saved money from his estate, from as he was collecting, you know, money from the Yerusha, he saved it and used that money to go buy these items, or he got it from his maternal grandfather. Let him bring the re'ayah, let him bring the edim. Rav Sheshat amar re'ayah b'kiyum ashtar. He says, no, you have a shtar with his name on it. All he has to do is show that Beit Din verified the shtar over here, and to prove that the witnesses are good. And once already you made the kiyum of the shtar in Beit Din, for sure you could assume that they checked it out, and they saw that everything in the shtar is emet, and has his name on it. Therefore, since it has his name on it, Reuven, so Beit Din is not going to sign a shtar and validate a shtar unless whatever's written in the shtar is emet. So according to Rav Sheshat, just prove that the shtar is emet. Which means you're making sure that the witnesses that sign are not forged. But Beit Din's not going to give a kiyum on a shtar until they check it out, you know, they verify it. So therefore, again, it has his name on it. So you could assume once already you verify the shtar, you could assume that Beit Din did their due diligence, and therefore really belongs to the one that's name is on the shtar. So comes again, Gavaran says, Amar le Rava. The Rav Nachman, Rabba tells Rav Nachman, HaRav HaShemuel, HaRabba VeHaRav Sheshat, more keman svira le, which means now we have two machlokot over here. Number one, we have the machlokot between Rav and Shmuel. Rav holds the brother has to bring a ra'aya. Shmuel says the other brothers have to bring a ra'aya. So I have a machlokot on who's got to bring a ra'aya on the shtarot. Rav says again, the brother's name that's on the shtar, he's got to bring a ra'aya. That really he got this money from somewhere else. Shmuel says no, it's the other brothers that have to bring it ayah. So he says harav Hashemuel, then harav ba veharav sheshat, and you also have a machloket in Rav Shita itself. What type of ayah to bring? Do you bring it ayah of witnesses? Well, it's enough just to verify the shtar. So Gemara says more keman sivir ale. Who do you hold like in these two machlokot? So amale, he says ana matnita yadana. He says, I got a braita that clearly is posek like Rav. The Tanya says in the braita, Tosefta, Ehad mina achim, Shaya noten venose betuch habayit. Our case, one of the brothers that he was dealing with the Yerusha for his other brothers, Vehayu onot, there were shtare mechira, ushtarot, and documents of loans, Yotzin al shemot had his name on it, the Amar, and he said, Shelihin. These items are mine, separate monies, shenaflu li mibet abi imma, that came from my maternal grandfather. Like we said, he had a different mother, and if we say this is separate monies, alav lehavira ayah, it is incumbent upon him to bring aida ayah. So you see clearly, the burden of proof is on the brother that's dealing with the yirusha. Okay, so that's the first item. Now we didn't prove what type of ayah he has to bring, but clearly, you have a bright that it's supporting the shita of the goes like Rabbah. Now, v'chein ha'isha, the bright that continues. Similarly, you have a lady that became a widow, husband died. Shehi noset v'notenet betuch habayit. She's involved in the yirusha now of the husband. You know, for the yetumim, for the children of the husband. V'ayu onot ushtarot, same story. There was shtarot and onot over there. Yotzin al sima that have her name on it. The amra, and she says, "Yeah, shelihin. This is my own monies. Shenaflu li mebet abi abba, or mebet abi imma." She says, "I got this from my maternal grandfather, my paternal grandfather. But it's got nothing to do with the yerusha. She wants to keep this for herself. These shtarot. Aleha la'avir ayah. Same story. She's got to bring a proof." So the Gemara says, "My vechen, what do you need two cases for? What do you need a case of one of the brothers that is dividing the Yerusha, or a lady that's dividing the Yerusha? What's the hadush of the two cases?" So comes the Gemara and says like this, "Ma'u detema." So I would have said, "Isha kevan dishviha la milta." Once already, Beit Din gave the lady hashivut, that what? That she is the apotropos for the yetomim, which means they trusted her to deal with the yerusha for the yetomim. The amre, katarha kame yetme, she's involved in helping the yetomim for the yerusha. Lo gazlam yetme, you don't have to suspect that she's going to steal from the yetomim now. And therefore, could be she doesn't want to lose her trust to say that money belongs to her when it really doesn't. So I would have thought that maybe, in that case over there, she's dealing for the Yetumim. You say, well, a lady that's dealing with Yetumim is going to lie. Kamash ma'alan, that's what the Tana has to say, yes. Even an almana that's dealing with the assets of Yetumim, she is indeed hashuda to use the money of the Yetumim. And therefore, she has to bring an ayah as well. Which means brothers, okay, we can understand brothers. A brother has to bring it ayah because maybe he stole it from the other brothers. But you would have thought the lady that's dealing with the assets of Yetumim, she's not going to steal. She stole ayah. She's involved in the Yetumim's assets. Kamash malan, even a lady is suspicious, suspect of such a thing, and therefore she has to indeed bring it ayah that indeed it is hers. So therefore the halakha, we posek like Rav, even though the guy's name is on the shtar. We can say his name is on the shtar because he's the one that's involved in the Yerusha. He's dividing the assets. There's no ra'ayah that it's really his money, but he just brings that ra'ayah, and then already he can keep it. Baruch Adonai de'olam. Amen ve'amen.